This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes when we're making this show. For one, I start off every interview by asking guests to pronounce their names for me.
It's Geza Juke. I think gazing at the stars for the first name, Geza.
Ooh.
And for the last name, Juke, think jukebox.
Saying gazing at the stars is so on brand. Geza is the senior director of astronomy at the Adler Planetarium. We got this pretty rare solar eclipse happening on Monday, so I figured we should check in with somebody over there to get ready.
Solar eclipse occurs when the Earth and the Sun and the Moon are just aligned just so that the shadow of the Moon falls onto the Earth.
So on Monday, between 12:51 and 3:22 p.m., Chicago is going to get dark.
Here in Chicago, it's going to get 20 times dimmer. We'll lose like 94-95% of the light from the sun.
But that does not mean it's going to be safe to look into the sun with your naked eye. In a minute, Geza is going to give us some safety tips, because if you are not already planning to set aside time to be present during this event, by the end of this conversation, you'll probably be convinced otherwise.
It'll look like there's sort of a chunk, a bite taken out of the sun, and that bite will slowly get larger and larger and larger, and you'll start getting worried, oh my goodness, something's eating the sun. And then eventually, if you're in the path of totality, the moon will completely cover the sun and the sun will disappear, and instead of the bright, beautiful, wonderful sun that we usually have, there'll be this sort of ghastly, glowing, ethereal circle of darkness surrounded by the glowing corona.
I mean, listen to the way he talks about this.
One of the really crazy things when you're in totality is that it gets dark where you are.
Uh-huh.
But it's not dark, you know, 50 miles
right.
in each direction.
Yeah.
And so you see this sort of sunset around you, because you're seeing the light from the sun going into the atmosphere and then coming towards you through all of, you know, through the clouds and air. And the birds go quiet because they're like, wait a second.
You know, yeah,
it's nighttime.
Right. And they don't live long enough for this to have happened a few times.
No, exactly. It's like,
yeah.
Very strange, very odd. And I mean, I totally understand why this was, a solar eclipse was really an important cultural event when the people were worried about
where
the sun was being eaten and, you know, what are we going to do to get it back? And
tell me more about that. Like, how did early humans interpret this?
Well, it's such an amazing phenomenon. And as you said, it's not like it happens that frequently.
Yeah.
And we're very lucky that two of them happened within 7 years, close by here in Illinois.
Uh-huh.
But usually this is the kind of thing that happens, you know, once every 100 years to get totality or something, maybe a partial eclipse, you know, a little more frequently than that. But it's so rare that the immediate assumption is that this is some sort of supernatural occurrence. And, and we always hope that we have some sort of control over things. There's something we can do.
Yep.
Now, that's not to say that some of the earlier cultures, you know, the Sumerians, for example, knew about the periodicity. They had good enough records. They're like, wait a second, this happens, you know.
I remember reading, looking at something that said something like this happened before. Yeah,
exactly. And so they could start sort of making predictions, or at least not being quite so surprised.
Wow. Okay.
And that's particularly the case for lunar eclipses, because lunar eclipses, more people see a lunar eclipse. And so you can sort of, have better records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is the Adler Planetarium doing to celebrate the occasion this year?
Well, I love the word you used, celebrate, because it's so much fun.
We
are having an event, an eclipse encounter, and basically we're going to just, it's an outdoor thing, so we don't want people coming indoors. So we're closing off parts of Solidarity Drive, so, you know, us and our thousands of closest friends can come together for sort of, big block party style event and just sort of enjoy watching the eclipse in the company of your friends out where the Adler is. We're going to have people, knowledgeable people, experts being able to tell people a little bit about the eclipse. We've got have some telescopes set up so people can get a more detailed view through safe filtered telescopes. We're going to be handing out eclipse glasses, let people enjoy and celebrate together.
Yeah.
It's something that just doesn't happen that frequently.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is definitely an opportunity for all different kinds of people to come together and hang out and experience
Absolutely.
This thing, because it unites us as humans. I mean, we all experience this, this thing as a weird, exciting event.
And it's so amazing that we can be in the shadow of the moon. We can be in the shadow of a building or a tree or whatever,
but the moon,
It's a direct connection. The sun, our local star, the moon, and then us, and those three things in order.
It's so beautiful. How does this eclipse compare to the one that happened back in 2017 that we got to witness around here?
Oh, it's just, it's very similar. It's remarkable, actually. I think this eclipse maybe is just slightly deeper for Chicago. I think this eclipse is slightly longer, but they're very similar eclipses. And that's sort of one of the fun things. We had sort of two eclipses, two great American eclipses going right across the country.
You talked about the path of totality. What is that going to look like in Chicago? And where exactly will we need to go in order to see the full totality?
Okay, so full totality is where the sun is completely covered by the moon.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a little bit sort of off, then the moon isn't going to be blocking the sun completely. And in Chicago, it'll be about 94% of the sun covered. And if you wanted to get to full totality, you'd have to go south. So the path of totality is passing over Carbondale again.
Okay.
That's where this eclipse path and the previous one, the 2017 one, cross. But basically, it's sort of a west-east track.
Okay.
In this case, it's sort of coming up from Texas and then sort of going up across, through. The bottom part of Illinois and then Indiana and then Ohio and then sort of continuing up and eventually going over Maine.
Okay.
But so if you wanted to go to totality, you'd want to head south.
Down
by Carbondale, or you can go into Indiana or, there's a lot of places which have good eclipse maps and you can just pull one up and it'll give you the path of totality. Choose your location. Of course, if you want to have a place to stay, you're probably out of luck at this point because all of the hotel rooms have been booked for like a year.
So I want to talk about safety. So, a lot of people, as you said, they got their hotels booked. They're going to take off work. They're going to take off school and get themselves into the path of totality. What are the safety risks associated with this? So let's start with the glasses.
So the sun is just really, really bright. And so that's the main issue that, that you're going to, if you look at the sun and you stare at the sun, then damage can be done. And that can happen. Normally we have this sort of reaction. We don't want to look at the sun.
Yeah.
It's just too bright.
It's natural. You just look away.
It's natural. Yeah. You'll save your eyes. You won't get any damage because you'll just look away instantly.
Yeah.
But if there's something really interesting happening with the sun, like an eclipse, you're going against your natural instincts. And so the danger is that people are there and try to stare and say, can I see anything? Can I see anything?
Yeah.
And the sunlight will be focused on their eyes. And the sun is just so bright that damage can occur. Pretty rapidly. And in particular, it's not just the total brightness of the sun. It's sort of the intensity, how strong the light is. Mm. The part that's not covered will still have as much intensity. you know, light per area.
Wow. So some of us, you know, we're going to try to go get a pair of eclipse glasses. I've heard people ordering them on Amazon. It's the wrong ones. Where do you recommend we get a pair of proper eclipse glasses?
Well, if you come down to the Adler's event, we'll be handing out proper eclipse glasses.
Okay.
Then, eclipse viewers.
Nice.
You can also look for certified. There's an ISO, International Standards Organization certification for the right kind of thing that'll make sure that your eyes are protected, that it rejects enough of the light and, you know, blocks the light and blocks the right kinds of light, the infrared and the ultraviolet, as well as the visible. So that's sort of the gold standard.
Okay.
Now, the trouble is, of course, some places have sold eclipse viewers that say ISO certified, but they're not.
Uh-oh.
And so it's basically a matter of trust. Are you getting your eclipse glasses from a trusted source, you know, like, for example, a friend who's an amateur astronomer, or from a museum, or a retailer that you know is not going to risk, you know, mm-hmm. lawsuits or whatever? And so there's actually the American Astronomical Society has on their webpage, they have a big section devoted to where can you get good glasses? And they have a whole long list of different suppliers where they've checked and made sure that those glasses, those eclipse viewers, are safe.
All right.
So if you just go to AAS.org, right on their front page, there's a section which says eclipse safety, and you click there and you can list them. And they, you know, they both have online sellers that you can use, but they also list big box retailers that are selling them, and you know, they list the ones where they know that those are safe glasses.
All right. So that is extremely helpful. Lots of options. I just want to cover the folks who are, you know, maybe last minute, they want to do a DIY thing, you know, or maybe like everything's sold out because, you know, like you said, people have been preparing mm-hmm. for this for a while. Is there anything you can do DIY wise to just?
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell me.
So one of the best things is you can make a pinhole camera. So basically, you make you have a sheet of cardboard or cardstock or something that'll block the light, and you make a small little hole. And then the small little hole will let a little bit of light in, which will sort of, you let the light go, and on, say, a white piece of paper or sheet like that. And normally when you do this, you just sort of see a little round circle.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a bite taken out of the sun, there'll be a little bite taken out of the round image. In fact, you can even use something like a colander. Anything that has holes in it that otherwise blocks the light will project a little round image of the sun.
Mm.
And so if the sun is a crescent shape, you'll see the crescents.
And so this is a way that you can, you would still look up, but look through the hole.
Oh, okay. So in this case, what you'd be looking at is you'd be looking at the light that goes through the holes and then lands on the ground.
Oh, I see. So that you can see a projection on the ground. Okay.
A projection on the ground. Exactly.
Ah, gotcha.
Well, so that's important. Don't just look
through
the holes.
Don't be looking up. Okay, gotcha.
So yeah, don't be looking up unless you have
the glasses.
Safe eclipse viewers.
Okay.
Or glasses.
That's helpful.
You might be tempted to say, oh, I'll bring along a pair of binoculars. You know, it's safe. It's safe, right, when the sun is blocked by the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I want to see things in details.
Ooh.
That's a really bad idea.
Oh.
Because if you get the timing wrong, and then just a tiny bit of the sun shows up while you still have the binoculars on.
Oh.
And that's just guaranteed to burn a hole through your retina.
Oh my God.
So yeah, for a lot of astronomy things, you know, I say, hey, grab a pair of binoculars. You can see, you know, the moon better, or you can see the stars or a comet better. But for a solar eclipse, leave the binoculars alone and leave them at home.
You know what? I know there's plenty of people who are like, yeah, and I'm gonna bring the binoculars. So I'm glad you said that. So this is a big deal for the folks over at the Adler Planetarium. And I'm wondering exactly how rare is an eclipse like this?
Well, so you need that precise alignment. And that doesn't always happen because the moon's orbit is sort of tilted. It doesn't always go precisely between the Earth and the sun. But about sort of, you know, once a year, this will happen somewhere on Earth.
Mm, okay.
But it's a narrow path. So it's a lot rarer that an eclipse path will go over a populated area. And in particular, any given spot isn't going to see, a path of totality passing over more frequently than, once every century or two.
Yeah.
However, we got really lucky. Carbondale got two eclipses passing over within 7 years. And there's actually another eclipse coming up that's going to do a sort of similar pass across the center of the United States in 2045. I think that one's in August. So hopefully it'll be nice weather.
What are you looking forward to most this time around?
I'm just going to enjoy being in the shadow of the moon again. It just was such an amazing experience last time. And it's just so much fun, and you can share it with your family and friends, and just sort of, for me, there's nothing scientific I will be doing. These days, the importance of an eclipse is just the beauty and the connection it makes between people and the universe at large.
Geza Juk is the Senior Director of Astronomy at the Adler Planetarium. Geza, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
The Adler has a free outdoor viewing event on Monday. For more information, you can go to adlerplanetarium.org. And for an eclipse map and for eye safety tips, check out eclipse.aas.org. And that's it for today. Thank you to Justin Bull and Sarah Stark for producing The Rundown and to Ariel Van Cleve for editing the show. Brendan Banizak is our executive producer, and our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. And if you know somebody who is really into this type of thing, hit the share button. You can also leave us a review. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.